Well, I'd like to hear you turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6, a wonderful passage of Scripture as you're finding your place in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse number 10. As you find your place there, I did hear this story about this little fella, that a young guy, about 5, 6 or so. He was in this Christian family, and he was there. They were having a dedication because he'd had a baby brother, and his mom and dad brought that little one in there, and the pastor had a baby dedication, which is just when you say, well, this is dedicating the little one to the Lord. And the pastor went on and on, though, about this baby and the other children being raised in this Christian family, and how mom and dad were going to raise him in that way, and raise all the children. And on the way home, the little guy, about 5 or 6, he was a little depressed in the back. You could tell he was just a little upset. And Dad said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Oh, no, nothing." No, what's wrong? He said, "Something happened at church." He was afraid something happened in his class or whatnot. No. He said, no, I can tell something's wrong. What's wrong? And he said, well, the pastor said, when we had that service, we was up there, and said that my little brother is going to be raised in a Christian home. He said, yeah. Said, mom and dad, he says he's going to raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yeah. He says he's going to be raised in Christian principles. Yeah. He says he's going to be raised up in that Christian home. He said, yeah, I get it. He said, what's upsetting about you? He said, well, I wanted to stay with you guys. So make sure, I was a children's pastor for years. If you want to know how a family's doing, don't ask the mom or dad. Ask the kids. They'll tell the truth. I mean, mom and dad get out of the car and everything's great. Everything's glorious. Oh, great to see you, brother. How you doing? And oh, we've had a wonderful time just rejoicing in the Lord all week. And then the kids are saying, mom and dad been fighting like cats and dogs. So just ask the kids. Well, speaking of that, why I brought this up is I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you in the battle? Not that battle. Are you in the battle? Verse number 10 of Ephesians 6, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles are just those cunning ways of working in those devices of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to ask about this. Are you in the battle? My father-in-law loves to watch boxing. He would love to watch that. One pastor I heard him say one time said, oh, that's brutal for two men to get there and use their fists to pound each other's faces. And he said, that's brutal. That shouldn't be allowed. And he said, but as long as it is allowed, I'm going to watch every boxing match I can. I read about Muhammad Ali, and he said that the roughest and toughest he ever fought was Joe Frazier, quoting him. He brought out the best in me. These men fought 3 times, and the most famous was in 1975 in Manila, the Thrill in Manila, October the 1st. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of fighting where you're fighting with fists back and forth. I guess maybe that's a sport. Some have been watching different Olympic activities. But we're talking about a little bit different fight. Now, there's lots of fights you can be in. We're in a very colorful season, if you want to look at it that way, in our political landscape of America. And we've got people fighting, and it'd be easy to get up here and talk about politics, but I'm not going to. And all the people said, amen. Thank the Lord for that, because you hear enough of it the rest of the time. But you've got people on one side that are putting vicious attacks against the other side. But before you go feeling sorry for them, the other side's putting vicious attacks against them. So don't feel sorry for either side, because both of them are engaged in it. But we come through this period. But regardless of who is elected in either the national one or other elections, you understand that we're in a mess. We are here in this spot. And I'm not going to talk about the political landscape as I mentioned, but I am going to talk about the battle that all of us need to be involved in. Because this passage in verse number 10, where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. When that finally is put on there because of the verses before that, and those verses before that are talking about people of how they need to live as their workers or their employees and or as servants and as wives and as husbands. And then in the first part of chapter number 6, children obeying parents, and it gives all of these different roles that people play. And when God gets about done with that, to move on to some other subject, he says, finally, in all of those roles that people play, be strong in the Lord. If God would let me, I'd like to take these next few moments to tell you about these. Ask that question, are you in the battle? But before we figure out whether we're in the battle, we have to remember, number one, is that there is a battle. In verse number 10, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So first of all, I'd like to remind you that you've got to remember that there is a battle going on. You as a believer are in a battle. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there are forces out there that are trying to challenge and battle you to do different than what you are currently doing. If you believe that that life is a gift from God and it's precious from the conception all the way till natural death, if you believe that, then you are in a battle because much of the world wants to challenge that and say that it isn't precious from God. If you believe that God made you the way that you want to, that He wanted to rather, and that He made you how you are, and that you're supposed to stay that way all the way up through, then you are in a battle because there's people in our world right now that want to say, no, you can change, and even those gender ideologies and all that, that's fluid and that can move back and forth. If you believe that God was sovereign and He made you how you want to be made, He wants you to be made, then you are in a battle. If you believe that God is defined marriage to be a man coming together with a woman, then you are in a battle as well, because there are people that are every day on our media challenging that fact. I'm saying this morning that we are in a battle in a time when many people were trying to get out of going to battle. Vietnam, we were sending many, many young people over there to fight. And my dad went, when other people of his generation were trying to avoid getting called up, he went and volunteered. He said, well, I'm going to go because I want to be part of it, and went to Vietnam on a minesweeper. And so as we had people like that, some were discussing it and denying it. There was a war going on that needed to be fought. I read a story of John Gutman, and he told of his father, who was a World War II vet. But his father was able to avoid the draft. He had a job that was deemed important to the war effort. He was 2A. And he also had an eye, as they labeled it that day, eye and ear defect. He was 4A, so he didn't have to go to the service. But he lied about all those things that were going on in his life, and he still went and joined the Navy and served until 1945. Where we had a group of folks that were trying to avoid things, he was trying to rush toward the battle. And those old soldiers realized there was something that needed to be fought for. And as real as that was then, I'm telling you this morning that there is a battle going on in the world today that you and I need to deem is real. You don't have to be a real student of prophecy or of history, for that matter, to realize that what we are seeing on regular television now is the level that would have been 40 years ago, probably on a pay-per-view setup where you would have had to have been in a select service to get those type of viewing things. Or if you go into a grocery store or some other kind of store and you see the magazines that are there for sale, years ago those would have been deemed inappropriate and they would have been behind a counter somewhere. And so we understand that we're in a battle because it seems like everything holy and decent and right and righteous is now being trodden underfoot. And I believe that's why God says in that verse, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So first of all, you and I have to remember there's a battle. But not only that, if you look in verse number 11, you've got to remember the armor. Since there is a battle, you've got to remember the armor. Put on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, he says, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You say, John, what armor are you talking about? You can make a note there. If you look down at verses number 14 down to 17, you'll see it listed of the armor. We'll look at a couple pieces of it. But you've got to not only remember there's a battle going on, but you've got to remember you're going to have to suit up for this battle. You can read about that there, but you see that in verse number 14 that you've got to have your loins girt about with truth, and that's the armor getting put on, having the breastplate of righteousness for protection. When I was in college, I worked at a place, Hartley Manufacturing, and we didn't manufacture much of anything except for materials that would go onto DuPont, and they would make the things. But I suited up in this job that I had. They always hired college kids, and they gave them some of the hottest and stickiest jobs. And so I suited up in this big white suit and put gloves on. You connected the gloves to the sleeve. Sometimes you put you had hearing protection on because of the noise, but then eye protection. You had boots that were secure and all that. but I did that because I dumped this Niad G powder in this hopper and that it had fiberglass in it. So everywhere it got on you, it just immediately started itching because that would irritate your skin. But you suited up like that. Hot as it was better than having all that stuff on you, and you got suited up for battle. It wasn't battle, but you got suited up. And you and I need to realize that we've got to get suited up before we go out of the work, or before we go out to work, before we go out of the house, before we go do something. There was a time when it was thundered out from this pulpit again and again and again to get up and read the Bible and let the Bible get in you. And Preacher Lasty has done such a wonderful job over these years just saying, get in the Bible. What are you doing when that happens? You are getting suited up. You're putting on that breastplate of righteousness. You're putting on the shield of faith, of course. And so I'm going to tell you this morning, you need to remember that there's an armor that needs to be put on. I want to give you a couple of reasons why you need that armor. Because first of all, it's the ability of our enemy. It drives us to need that armor. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 5, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That means that Satan is after you. He's after your testimony. If you are known as a person at work that stands for Jesus Christ, and you should be known as that, then my friend, the devil is going to be attacking you. And so we have a sly, conniving enemy. You don't even have to go out to work. You can just stay right there at home and be with your family on a vacation day or something, and that old devil, the wicked one, will be trying to get in between and drive a wedge between you and your family members as well. I'm saying that we need that armor because we have an enemy that's very able. But not only do we do that, not only the ability of our enemy, but the inability of me. The reason I need to suit up with this armor is because not only his ability, Satan's ability, but my inability. My brother-in-law works on the northern slopes of Alaska. He works for ConocoPhillips up on the pipeline. And so at their work, they call off, except for emergency, real emergency personnel, they call off work at 85 below zero. And so you say, wow. I've been in, and we lived in Iowa for a while. We had some cold wind chills, and I told Randy that. He said, no, that's 85 legitimate temperature. It has to be there before they call off work because obviously thing has to go on. Well, way before that frigid temperature, they have to have all of this different clothing that protects and provides element or provides a break from the elements, because your body and my body is not able to handle that kind of severe temperature and that kind of conditions. Can I just tell you that not only are you not able to handle those severe temperatures, but you and I in our own power are not able to handle the severe temptations and the problems and the conditions that Satan puts in our world right now either. So we are unable, not only do we see the ability of our enemy, but I also see the inability of me. And so just like his body has the inability to keep warm in those kind of frigid temperatures, my friend, you and I are foolish when we say that I can fight and I can win and I can defeat the enemy. Not, my friend, without some help you can't. The Bible says that we submit ourselves therefore to God, then resist the devil. But you've got to do that submitting to God to let him give you the help and the equipment that you need. You've got to remember the armor. Are you doing that? When you went out this morning, or when you go out in the morning tomorrow, are you planning to take some time to say, Lord, I need your help? I've read a little meme one time, and it said, this person said, well, I haven't got mad, I haven't cussed anybody, I haven't told anybody what they thought, I haven't yelled, I haven't screamed, I haven't done all of these things, but Lord, I'm getting ready to get out of bed, so help me from here on. And that's about the way we are. Are we going to plan to suit up in the morning? Take therefore the armor of God. Be strong, the Bible says, in the Lord. Put on, suit up. The reason you got to suit up is because we've got an adversary, the devil, who's seeking whom he may devour. And he's never more successful, somebody said, as when he convinces you he doesn't exist. If you think you can just bebop along through the day and nothing's going to bother you, he's not coming after you. My friend, I believe you're going to be sorely mistaken, because he's going to attack your attitudes. He's going to attack your relationships. He's going to try to get in a wedge between you and your sweetheart. My wife and I, we went up and I didn't do the wedding, but we went up to be there for a family friend. Their son got married. And yesterday, they're standing there at the wedding, and the pastor is a jovial guy, and he's telling them, said, well, now, you are going to make mistakes. And that groom is standing there saying, she won't. And said, he's going to make some mistakes, and then she's going to make some mistakes. And that boy said, no, she won't. And then he just tapped him on the shoulder, give it time, son, give it time. So even that sweetheart that you love, she's going to mess up sometimes. I know, ladies, I'm sorry to bring the bad news to the table this morning, but I had to. But do you know that you don't even have to leave your house, but what the wicked one, the devil, will try to drive a wedge between you and your spouse, that one that you love more than anybody else on this planet? I'm just saying this morning that we're going to not only have to remember that there's a battle to be won, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We're going to have to remember also there's an armor that you need to suit up with. But I have to give you this last one before you leave. Look in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not only you got to remember to suit up and remember the armor, but you got to remember who the enemy is. You got to remember the enemy. If you came to church with somebody today, look over at him right now, would you? Amy, I ain't come with you, but we came from the same place. I just came a little bit earlier than she did. Maddie, look over at them. That person is not your enemy. However much fighting and fussing we do sometimes in the car on the way to church, that person's not your enemy. You are fighting and I'm fighting people that we can see. But God says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So if you can see him, you've got the wrong enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, just earlier in this book, that it talks about Satan being the prince and power of the air. This real enemy that we face is a very, very strong opponent. This wicked one. The devil and the flesh and the world, but not the person sitting beside of you. If our enemy can get us to expel all of our energy fighting who we can see, that means oftentimes we don't have any energy to fight the one we can't see. And so your real problem is not that family member that won't leave you alone. Your real problem is the wicked one. You remember Jesus, he was of course our Savior, but he's also our great example. When he talked to Peter and Peter came to him and told him wrong information, Jesus told him, get thee behind me, Satan. I wasn't calling Peter Satan, but Satan was using Peter, even a believer at that time. And my friend, you and I would be wise to come to that same conclusion when we get upset about something or we get upset at somebody. May we remember that that's not the real person that our battle is against. That's just somebody right then that we're diverting the attention to them, but it shouldn't be on them. Instead, it should be to the wicked one himself. Life is a battle, my friend. And as I mentioned, the enemy is never more successful when he convinces you that he does not exist. Don't get lulled to sleep thinking that there's no fight. Don't get lulled to sleep thinking that, wow, I don't have to do anything. I'm just bebop through life. I'm all good. No, because then that wicked one's going to come and blindside us. And I see three problems. The first of all, of course, I told you to remember there's a battle, but their first problem is some people don't admit there is a problem. But my friend, we've got to understand that there's real battle going on. There's a spiritual battle going on. We've got to admit and understand that. Some of them understand there's a battle, but they don't realize that they realize there's a battle, but they're trying to fight it in their own power. Sometimes we say, I'm going to do battle with the devil today. You better not be alone, that's for sure. You better have the armor of God on. You better be suited up, my friend. Don't think, I understand some of you are pretty strong, pretty much a lot of resolve, but you better not be battling alone. And then some people keep fighting, but they keep fighting people and not the real enemy. So I don't know where you fall this morning, but I'm challenging you to get suited up and fight the real enemy. There's people in this room, undoubtedly, that the devil is wreaking havoc on our thoughts and our emotions, and he's driving a wedge between the people that we love the most. He's causing us to think things that we never should have thought. He's causing us to fight where we never should have fought. He's causing us all these problems, and we're playing right into his hand. I just give you this one aspect of the armor. You know, of course, there's the truth, the loins girt about truth. There's the breastplate of righteousness. There's the feet shod, all of these things. But verse number 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is, of course, the word of God as we get. But I want to give you one little aspect of the helmet of salvation. For years, I had doubts about whether I was saved or not. And boy, if you don't have that helmet firmly fastened to get in the Word of God, then it really, really troubles you. But one little aspect of the armor is that helmet of salvation. Do you know the Bible talks about those vain imaginations that come into our life and thoughts, the devil sends them all the time. You and I have had these many times, and we'll be convinced that somebody's mad at us about something, and we'll consume with what we're convinced that they're thinking about us. And then when it all plays out, you know how much they were thinking about us? Not at all. Because they had their life that they were living. They weren't thinking about us at all. But we were completely convinced that they were thinking and conniving and working on things that were going to hurt us. How does that happen? Those fiery darts of the devil come. He's throwing them all the time, flinging them all the time. And the Bible says we have to put firmly that helmet of salvation. First of all, you got to understand or make sure that you are saved, that you have that helmet securely fastened, that you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, no wonder that your battle is in that mind of yours. And no wonder that you're having trouble, because you need that salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're not saved, I challenge you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But many of us this morning, we are saved and we do know the Lord, but still we allow those darts to come in. We've got to securely fasten that helmet of salvation, remind ourselves from the Word of God that He is protecting us. And my friend, I don't know where you are, but you could be like me. And you allow those thoughts to come into your minds. I was telling my kids just the other day that I've been up at a door, knocking on the door. One particular one, I remember up in Columbus Junction, and the storm door was open, or the storm door was shut rather, but the main door was open. I could see somebody coming through there. I was just inviting them to church. But before they got up to that door, I was completely convinced that they were going to be mean as all get out. I had thoughts going through my mind that they hated preachers and they hated me specifically and they didn't do this. I had all kinds of thoughts coming through my mind. And do you know what? None of them were true. They got to the door, opened up that storm door. You know what they said? Can I help you? Well, I was way off what I thought. Well, the devil will supply those thoughts. And that helmet of salvation helps protect, or does protect, this head. So this morning, I'm challenging everybody to remember, you're in a battle. There's spiritual wickedness going on in high places. There's a spiritual battle going on. And I'm challenging you, all of us, to realize that the devil is after your home, after your marriage. You say, Pastor, you're not very encouraging. I'm not trying to be encouraging. I'm trying to be equipping, because I want you to understand that there's a real enemy out there. You got to remember there's a battle. And you got to remember to suit up. And so I'd love for all of us, as we head out tomorrow to whatever we're going through the day, take a little time to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to get my mind in gear, get my heart prepared. Lord, put on that breastplate of righteousness. Lord, let me get in the Word. Let me be prepared. You got to remember the armor. And then as you walk out that door, or don't walk out that door, you got to remember who the enemy is. If I can see you, you're not my enemy. If you can see that person, and you're fighting against them, you're fighting the wrong enemy. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. Whatever your need is, I trust that you do something with what God has spoken on your heart about, because I want us all to go out into our week tomorrow and today, but in our week tomorrow, ready to go forward for Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for the time to come and be with my friends. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God, how it equips us. And Lord, I pray that we would realize and understand that we're in a battle. I pray that we would get suited up, remember who our enemy is, and get busy. I pray if there's somebody that's unsaved, dear Lord, I pray that today you've shown them their need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those that are saved, but that wicked one's been throwing those fiery darts at them, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help them suit up with that shield of faith, the Word of God, that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness. Lord, help us, I pray. Whatever each and every one of our need is, I pray, dear Lord, that we would do business with you, and we'll thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you're able to, as the ladies play, would you stand together with us? If not, just feel free to sit there in your seat. But maybe God spoke to your heart this morning, giving something for you that you need to do business with the Lord. This altar is open for you. You're welcome to come pray. You can make an altar out of your seat right there. Just stay right where you are and pray if you want. Maybe you've been fighting the wrong enemy. You've been fighting and fussing with that husband or that wife of yours, been fighting with that family member of yours, and all along it hasn't been them. It's not much of a regiment that shoots its own, but sometimes we Christians are known for doing it. If you're here today and need to be saved, Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you could ask Christ to be your Savior. Maybe you already know all that you need to know. My friend, don't hesitate. Ask Christ right now to save your soul, forgive you of your sins. Turn to Christ. Maybe you're here, you need to be baptized. You've never done that, would you? Step out, present yourself for that. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Come present yourself for membership. Whatever your need is, let's not leave but what we do, all that God has put in your hearts. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church this morning. Thank you for being here with us. And I trust that God would use that message to equip us as we go forward in this week. Tonight, I invite you back 6:30. If you're able to come, I'm going to preach a short message from 1 Peter, which is we'll just continue our series. But then we'll do it just a little different than we typically do it. I'll preach and we'll have a shortened service. And then right after that, we won't go anywhere. But right after that, we'll observe the Lord's Supper and have a good time as a church family. I invite you back for that. We'll have a great and wonderful time together. And then please don't forget about this Wednesday. If you're not able to be here, please be praying that God would just come in and meet with us in a special way. But I watch services. Brother Daniel and Kyle did a great job last week and preached, and I watched some of our services just a so we can better ourselves and all that, but it's still never as good as being here. So I challenge you, if you're able to Wednesday, be here with us. I believe that you're going to be thrilled to hear the message from Brother Kenny, and I believe God will do a great work in our hearts. So thank you so much, Brother Daniel. Would you come dismiss us in prayer? Amen. I'll be back in the lobby if you want to buy some of those Bible study books. Ladies, if you have want information about the Bible studies or the conference coming up, or if you need anything else, please stop by. We'll be out there.
Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we've had to gather together this morning, and for just a sweet spirit in the service, Lord, with all that we got to hear and all to get to be part of. Lord, I pray you bless the fellowship. It'll happen right after this service, and as we make our way out and about, keep us safe, and Lord, bring us back together. And we do pray for Wednesday night already, that you'd work in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be a church family. Bless us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.